Hello there, and welcome to another episode of The Sports Report. We are your hosts. I am Ben Meredith.
And I am also Ben Meredith.
Welcome into today's episode. Today we'll be talking about some NFL action as Myles Garrett breaking records, playoffs, coaches being fired, postseason interviews happening. And we're going to talk a lot about that Bills interview with owner and general manager. And then, again, jobs being open, jobs being taken. And then some college basketball, as we're going to talk about the net. We're going to talk about the Tar Heels and their California trip and their tough schedule, along with some specific players. And then a wild day that happened a couple weeks ago. And if we have time, we'll talk some high school action. But I feel like we're going to spend most of today's episode spending time talking about that wild college basketball slate that happened earlier in the season. But first off, I would like to start this on a kind of sad or somber note as local high schooler and track athlete Zayden Goodman passed away in a tragedy. And we would just like to say from the Sports Report crew that we are praying for the family and all else who knew Zayden, knew how great of a guy he was, and we're just truly praying for them during this time. But now we're going to go ahead and dive straight into the NFL. As Myles Garrett already mentioned, breaking the single-season sacks record. So congratulations to him. Major accomplishment for him. And I'm very, very not shocked that he did this because he's such a phenomenal athlete. He will go down as one of the best, if not the best, defensive player of all time. NFL playoffs. All games in the wild card round were within one score games in the fourth quarter. Panthers-Rams winning that one, having both. That one was a ping pong match, just who could score and what all could happen. And then we saw the Bears-Packers completing a 21-3 point comeback in a phenomenal fashion, as Caleb Williams doing Caleb Williams-esque things. We'll talk about that Rams game later. Bills-Jaguars, Bills winning on a crazy game-winning drive to beat Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars with an 11-yard quarterback. Absolutely crazy. And then 49ers-Eagles. Niners outlast the Eagles despite losing star tight end George Kittle. And then Patriots-Chargers. Chargers had zero touchdowns, held to 3 points, and defensive pressure destroyed Justin Herbert. Steelers versus Texans. Texans just had a phenomenal game. Two defensive touchdowns and no touchdowns for the Steelers whatsoever. And crazy to think about as draft order continues to solidify in the NFL. And then in the divisional round game, Bills and Broncos, 1 versus 6 seed, played in a overtime thriller. Did you see the ending of this game on social media?
I did not.
Okay. So there was a controversial call. Brandon Cooks went up to go grab what would have been a ball that could have put them in field goal range to kick the game-winning field goal, but it's ripped away while they're on the ground and called an interception.
Oh.
So it's other team's ball on like their own 26-yard line. And I'm going to put my 0% expertise on this officiant. His knee was down. He was down by contact. Should have been Bill's ball. But I don't get paid for this. Right. So I'm not going to sit here and argue. I really wanted to see Josh Allen hoist the Lombardi. If it isn't going to be Drake May, I wanted it to be Josh Allen. That game sucked if you're a Bills fan, and we'll get to the Bills in a little bit as they had a absolute terrible interview. And then the 49ers get killed by the Seahawks. First play of the game was a kick return touchdown, and that was the only score that was needed to win, as the final score was 6-42. Or 6-41. And then the games on Sunday, Patriots defeating the Texans on a terrible game from CJ Stroud, throwing four interceptions in the first half. And they just kind of cruised through the third and fourth quarter, able to win on that one. And then the Rams and Bears was a phenomenal ending, another overtime thriller. What were your thoughts on the ending of that Bears Rams game?
Didn't see it.
Yes, you did. It was the one where Caleb Williams threw that insane throw at the end of the game where he was on 1 foot to the 40 yard line.
Yeah, I did actually see that one. That was a wild throw. I mean, I was very impressed by it. I mean, Right before the camera pans to him, there was definitely a clear out happening where receiver just kind of pushes the corner or safety or whoever that was. It was like, you go over there. I got to catch a ball. But they didn't call it. But either way, just from a pass perspective, like that pass, statistically, not a wise choice to throw off of your back foot from the 45. Or wasn't it? It was like 45. Like he was way back there. He was 26 yards behind the line of scrimmage, I think is what I read. And so, yeah, wild.
Yeah, I mean, he retreated from like the 5-yard line or two or 3-yard line was line of scrimmage. He was 7 yards behind the line or 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, as typical in the shotgun. Retreated back to like the 41-yard line.
Yeah.
Off 1 foot, throws it 2 or 3 yards deep. I mean, that was a 50-yard throw in air yards. I mean, it was... Yeah. Absurd that he was able to get that ball off and just able to secure an overtime where he would end up throwing the end all be all interception. But yeah, that was a divisional round game. The AFC championship game will be Patriots and Broncos. That'll be in Denver, 3 o'clock kickoff. So they won't have to worry. There will be snow there, but they won't have to worry about, deadly ice like the South does at the moment. We're praying everybody stays safe from that. But yeah, the weather in that Texans game was also pretty crazy. It was like this wintry mix. Were you watching that game?
I saw a little bit of it.
It was so it was so rainy, wintry, ridiculous. Snow didn't stick, but it was just absurd. And then yeah, so do you have anything else like to say about the NFL playoffs?
I do not.
And then the NFC championship game will be Rams versus Seahawks in the 6:30 slot, I believe, is when that one will kick off. But yeah, let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. Bills, they fired their head coach the Monday after the loss, and then they had a press conference with Terry Pegula, the owner of the Buffalo Bills, and like some hockey franchise out there in Buffalo. I don't know hockey at all, and I know you don't know hockey. So
I'm such a hockey fan.
And then he was the general manager of the team, but then he became head of football operations, and that being Brandon Bean, who fans were mad he got that promotion up to that. So, but yeah, within the first 5 minutes, the Pegula, the owner, blamed the officials on that bad call for like three straight, like, and within 5 minutes, he mentioned that call 3 or 4 times. It was,
wow.
It was very Mike Krzyzewski-esque. And then, I mean, this was absurd to me. He went and said, it was the coaching staff's decision to draft Keon Coleman, who is, at the moment, I believe their wide receiver one, who has not produced as well. I believe he was an early second round guy. And he just hasn't produced as well as they thought he could. And he was like, and that decision was made by the coaching staff. He was not Brandon's first choice. And he didn't say like we regret to draft him, but it was just basically what it sounded like. And I already said, blame the officials more than I have fingers on my right hand. And then the owner described an interaction with Josh Allen, which I think is hilarious. So the owner walked into the locker room after the game. Pegula walked into the locker room to Josh Allen, goes to Josh Allen and says, that was a catch. Josh Allen ignored him and just walked to go to the presser. And then afterwards, same interaction. Didn't say anything. I think tells you how much Josh Allen loves Terry Pegula. And then I really liked Brandon Bean in this interview. I know he's gotten a lot of hate from Bills fans, but I really liked how he, after Pegula said it again, he was, this time it was not asked to Terry, it was asked to Brandon Bean. He asked him, what are your plans at receiver? And he said, I still believe in Keon Coleman. He's a young guy, he can develop, whatever. But yeah, I mean, another thing to tell you about Terry Pegula, it was like a question for Brandon Bean about what prevented this team from making the jump to Super Bowl contention and winning it. And he said, and Terry Pegula interrupts Brandon Bean from answering and said, a bad call, clearly into the mic. I'm like, dude, a bad call? Who knows? Josh Allen could have thrown another interception on the next play if that was a catch. Like, it's
right.
Anything could have happened from there. So I just, yeah, lost a lot of respect for the Bills front office there, which is very sad because I love the Bills. But yeah, head coach is being hired. John Harbaugh for the Giants got hired. Titans hired Robert Saleh. He's a former Jets head coach. He's been at the 49ers organization since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. He's been there and he's been really good. Dolphins hired Jeff Hafley, the Green Bay defensive coordinator. He's been very solid. Kevin Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, goes to the Falcons after being fired by the Browns. Steelers, this was announced at about 2 or 3 o'clock today, as they showed it on multiple times at the North Carolina game. Mike McCarthy getting hired by the Steelers. And then Ravens hiring Jesse Minter. I know nothing about Jesse Minter, so I have nothing to say. Mike McCarthy, I believe he's won multiple Super Bowls. I know he's won one with Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully he can have that. As I said on some sports network, that it was like the fourth head coach in the history of the Steelers or something crazy like that. I don't know if you heard that. They mentioned that during like the halftime of the North Carolina game. But yeah, absolutely crazy. Job still open. Cardinals, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Raiders, and Steelers. Raiders. I'll tell you two teams that I don't want to go to if I'm a head coach. Cardinals, because they have no idea who their quarterback is. And the Bills because of that interview. But you still have Josh Allen, and then the Browns, who haven't been good ever. So it's very right now. I mean, obviously you have your pick at Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, which is kind of cool, I guess. But yeah, that's about all I have for the NFL. Do you have anything else you'd like to add about the NFL?
Go Tar Heels.
Yes, sir. But yeah, so then we'll jump into some college basketball action as the newest net update. Today is January 24th as we're recording this. So these are all games through the 23rd. So for example, the Tar Heels win over Virginia will not affect it, unfortunately. We'll read the top 10 and then I'll tell you all the failures. Michigan, they are 4-0 in quad 1, 9-1 in quad 2. Duke is 8-1 in quad 1, 2-0 in quad 2. Arizona, Gonzaga, Purdue, Iowa State, Nebraska, UConn, Illinois, and Houston. All very solid programs, all having 4 quad 1 wins or more. So very solid from them. And then Michigan State having 5 as well. They're at 11, but the Tar Heels kind of having a fall from grace after the California week are now 3-4 in quad 1. So it's good to know that California and Stanford are both considered quad 1. Being 3-4, I'm assuming Virginia is a quad 4 or a quad 1 game, so that'll be 4-4 in quad 1 tomorrow. But yeah, so pretty excited there. And then what were your reactions to the net?
I have not looked at the net, nor will I. But I mean that this is at least the time of year where you can start to get a real feel for how good teams actually are, you know, by watching the basketball game instead of watching who they played in November, which is what the net does for us. But I have some reactions to the Tar Heels, but I don't have many.
We'll get to that in like 30 seconds. I'm going to tell you this. According to the NCAA website, there are two ranked teams currently trailing: Auburn beating Florida by 14, and then Arkansas losing to LSU by 3. So curious to see how that'll shake up the net and the AP poll next week. That usually comes out on what, Monday, Tuesday?
Tuesday, I thought. But
I feel like it comes out a different day every week.
Yeah.
Normally before Wednesday, because Wednesday is when like the most stuff happens college basketball wise. But yeah, so we'll get to the Tar Heels. Every game left on their schedule as of now is a quad one win. Obviously that can change, because if Pitt were to beat Duke, they'd probably still be in quad one. But if Pitt were to beat Louisville, they might fall down a little bit into the quad two realms. But yeah, 0-2 in the California trip. Give me your thoughts on the California trip.
We forgot how to play basketball. I mean, the defensive effort was just not there. It was like they forgot how to defend things. Now, yes, both of those teams had, it was remarkable. As we're watching, you hear the announcer say, and that's the first time he's shot a three all year. You know, and that happened multiple times where it's like, this is this guy's career best night. In addition to the superstars that we expected,
like that Akori kid and
Boopy Miller on SMU. Like, it's the same story, right? It was like that we expected that guy, and then there was the other guy or the other two guys that were just absolutely couldn't miss. And so, yeah, it was out of the four halves of basketball that were played in California, we played defense in one of them. And it wasn't enough to come back and get the win, but we almost snuck back up on Cal and got the win. But yeah, we dug ourselves in too big of a hole. The defensive effort was just atrocious. The bounce back since then has been wonderful to see that at least the effort was there. We ran into some adversity in today's game against Virginia, but we still, it was wonderful to see that there was actually effort there.
Absolutely.
To actually, you know, put forth the defensive effort and do what we know we can do and play how we know we can play.
Absolutely. My reactions from the trip, I think, were perfectly summed up in, have you seen Caleb Wilson's presser after the Stanford game?
I saw a presser. I don't know.
I saw a clip of it, and he said, you have a guy go for 36 points and two guys go for 20 points and have each guy go 7 for 7 from three.
Mm-hmm.
That bleep can't happen, essentially what he said, and he's not wrong. Absolutely horrible. As we did see some pretty major things happen, Derek Dixon getting his first career start against Cal and then staying the starter for Notre Dame and Virginia. And then the Tar Heels are 3-3 in their last six with wins over Wake, Notre Dame, and Virginia. And then losses to SMU,
Stanford,
and Cal. That Akori kid just could not miss, and it was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he just...
And the worst part as a Carolina fan is you knew that Duke was playing them on the opposite night, and you knew Duke was going to lock them down defensively.
They were going to shoot 3 for 40 for...
You know, they and sure enough, that's what happened.
They beat them by 30. Yeah.
And credit to Duke also, because defense matters when shooting percentages as astronomical as it was against the Tar Heels for those California teams. That's not saying that they were just great and we couldn't stop them. It was we didn't try. We tried to stop them. But Duke clearly did try to stop them. But some of those were like, man, we can't buy a defensive stop. And, you know, they aren't missing in order to be able to, can't even get an offensive or defensive rebound because they're not missing the shot.
No, they weren't at all.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff around the ACC. This happened, I think, Wednesday or Thursday of this past week, so a couple days ago. NC State lost to Georgia Tech, that being their only, like, resume destroyer loss. I think their other losses were kind of expected, but they did beat Clemson in Clemson.
Yeah.
So that was a huge win for them. But yeah. And then what was your reaction to seeing Jaden Young in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, obviously Huber says all the time that he, you know, that you earn those spots. And so I'm sure Young has done something both in practice. And I mean, and when he comes in the game, I haven't seen him making the mistakes that would keep you from getting the start. But yeah, I mean, with Luka has been struggling to be consistent.
Correct.
When he's on, he's on. When he's not, he's really not.
You saw that.
Jaden Young clearly has not been struggling with those same levels of consistency. So excited to see that. Dixon, I think, really has solidified his spot.
Yeah.
In terms of taking over for Evans. I don't fault Evans necessarily, but Dixon definitely has stepped up and he has secured that spot.
He's averaging like 13 points a game, 7 or 8 assists.
It was him today against Virginia that was doing the look ahead.
Look ahead passes to Wilson Caleb. And Stevenson. I mean, Stevenson also had, I don't want to predict this. I'm going to predict the starting lineup. I don't think this could be way off. I would not be surprised to see Jaren Stevenson starting for the majority of the season in replace of Young, because it's not like Young has played bad, but outside of that Wake Forest game, he's had like, I don't know if he scored against Virginia tonight. or this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and he's averaging like 2 points a game.
Right.
Whereas you're having Stevenson, who's getting 7 or 8 a game, and he had like 19-20 against.
I think he had 17 all in the second half.
All in the second half. A huge reason that we were able to win that game.
Yeah, he was absolutely the difference maker. He drew the charge toward the end. He clutch three-pointer, clutch free throw. Stevenson was really, really, really yes. valuable.
And his defense, too. He was guarding that little kid. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, 5'10 guy.
5'10 guy. I mean, he was...
Yeah. Wow.
It was beautiful to see that out of a kid who's not been in that spot. Well, he's been in that spot, but not to that level, I don't believe, as a Tar Heel. And then Luka Bogovac, we mentioned that. His kind of struggles, but we saw him. He had a very good first half against... against who was it? Notre Dame, and a solid first half against UVA. He did not produce as much against UVA in the second half because he didn't need to.
Right.
Seth Trimble, Derek Dixon, Caleb Wilson, and Stevenson were all there instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then what sucked about it was Vassar picking up fouls. He only had like 3 rebounds, and his defense was not great in right. this game, but he had 7 points, which every point mattered in this one. But in replace of him, you saw Stevenson. And we've heard Coach Davis talk about it. If you listen to the Hubert Davis live show, which comes out every Monday night around 7, it was like he likes to call. He doesn't say, all right, you go play the point guard, you go play the center, you go play. No, he plays positionless ball almost.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not surprised to see Jaren Stevenson running the typical 5 spot or Caleb Wilson running the 5 spot when you have Vassar on the bench with 4 fouls because mm-hmm. one. He's still 6'10". He's still the same height as Armando Bacot. Like,
right.
he's not Armando Bacot, but he's got the size and he's way more athletic than Armando Bacot. So it's nice to see those types of things happening. You have anything else you'd like to add about this California trip and then this UVA game?
No, it was the Notre Dame game was the cathartic, right? I needed that. I needed yeah. to see us just blow the doors off of somebody to remember that, okay, we can play basketball. And I thought, and I even said it as we were watching the beginning of the UVA game, it was like, we've seen this movie before. They're doing it again. Come on, Tar Heels. And I was really excited that they, in the second half, they figured out how to play an away game. Because yeah. we in the ACC, we were winless.
We've got a whole lot more of those, too.
We had, again, one half of the 4 that played in California where we even looked like we knew how to play basketball.
One and a half halves, really.
And so this second half of the Virginia game was another example of, okay, if we can put together halves like that, we can beat anybody. But we certainly have not shown the ability to put together those halves, even into one full game
correct.
Of an away game yet.
In the 8 halves of away basketball that we've seen in ACC play, only about 3.5 of those halves have I walked away going, yes. Yeah. The second half of Cal, we looked decent.
Mm-hmm.
The first half against Stanford, we looked very solid. Mm-hmm. And then the second half against UVA.
Right.
The rest of those halves, it was like Boise State might be able to.
Right.
Like, it was not great. They might be able, I'm not saying they'd beat us, but I think they'd be able to produce more offensively than we did. But yeah, just very, very shocking there. But Luka Bogovac, I think he will be a solid 6th man for this team. I think Luka, Jaden Young, and Stevenson coming off of the bench, one of those guys will start, but coming off the bench will be huge and tells you the depth that we have. And again, we're the tallest team in all of Division I basketball.
Right.
So having that helps as well when you have to go up against a Duke or a Louisville or a whoever the heck else we have to play. But yeah, let's get to one of the most wild days of college basketball that we've seen this season. This was Wednesday of last week, so the California week. UNC fell to Stanford. Ole Miss at the buzzer against Georgia, who was ranked. They might still be ranked. I'm not sure. SMU comeback buzzer against Virginia Tech. Have you seen that shot?
Mm-hmm.
That was ridiculous.
Wow.
Kentucky at the buzzer against LSU, and then Vanderbilt gets destroyed in their first loss. They would have gone on to lose 3 straight, and then they would bounce. I think they bounced back today. They had a pretty solid game. Yeah, pretty wild there. And then we're going to briefly switch gears from basketball. We'll go back to high school basketball in a second. We're going to talk about the national championship game. Dad, I'm pretty sure you didn't watch it.
Was there a football game?
There was a football game.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, the U narrowly...
I saw a lot of coverage about it, but I did not watch any... I won't say any. I think you had it on in there, and I saw a little bit.
Yeah, but Fernando Mendoza in the fourth quarter, diving. Have you seen the pictures of his arm? I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. Fernando Mendoza, man. That kid secured himself the bag for the Las Vegas Raiders. But yeah, we'll get to high school as the Wildcats basketball team. First region win in a long time. Not sure how long it's been. It's been, I don't know if Devachi had a region win, if I'm going to be honest with you. It was not ideal for him during his era. So probably since the Scruggs era, which was a hot minute ago. But they are now 1-3 in region with losses to, they beat Pillion at Pillion, lost narrowly to Batesburg-Leesville, lost in a, I think talking to Carver Davis, it was like a 15-point game. And then last night losing to American Leadership Academy. What were your reactions? I was not at American Leadership because I was home. What were your reactions to the American Leadership game?
I mean, that, first off, the facility was really cool. I very much disliked the layout of the room for what it did to the audio in the room. Like, it was hard to hear and really loud, and the echoes were bouncing off the wall. You couldn't even tell. Like, at one point, somebody was screaming, one of the players during the girls' game, and I couldn't find them. Like, I was looking around, like, I hear somebody yelling, but I can't. My ears are playing tricks on me. Can't find where this person is. And so, but...
Did you ever find them?
I never did. I never did. And so, interesting facility. Newer facility. Nice, you know, place. But the seats were great. They had backs on the seats. And
what?
The bleachers. That's right. Fold-down seats that was...
This is the Gen Xer's dream right here.
It was pretty great. I had to take my squishy car seats back to the car because you can't use them sitting in chair. And so that was fun. But yeah, as far as the varsity game goes, I mean, we came out really solid, played really, really well for the first and second quarter. Just kind of fell apart. Their defensive effort, that we could not figure out their trap. The only negative I would say, is that we got punched in the mouth in the third quarter and didn't stand up to it. Like, it was like, ouch, that hurt.
Everybody's got a plan, but they get punched in the mouth.
I'm going home. You know, you could see the, on some of our players, not all of them, but some of our players, there was a definite, like, not responding to the aggression, other than with frustration. Too much looking at the ref and trying to get a call, not enough trying to get the ball. And so, yeah, it, and to credit to those, ALA guys, there was, 13 seniors on that team.
Golly.
Out of 14. And
wow.
And the 14th player, the junior, was about 6'5", 6'6", and clearly their star, everything, all the offense especially ran through him. And so it was, amazing. Yeah. So they had all those banners up on the wall, and as they're warming up, I started counting banners. I'm like, there's 13 banners on the wall and 14 people out there. And, somebody sitting near me is like, yep, there's 13 of them. And, the only one that's not a senior is that big guy right there. I was like, oh, wow. So yeah. And the JV team looked really, really good too. So ALA is going to be stacked.
Got some future
for the years to come. My son, Theo, on the JV team, did get dunked on.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he...
You didn't tell me this.
I did. He fouled him pretty good as the kid was dunking. Theo is saying that it was a rim graze, not a dunk.
That's still
it
a
was
dunk,
pretty,
dude.
It but was pretty dunky.
Is there a video?
And it was, yes, there's a video of that. And so, yeah, he got posterized, but he did get his first career three, Theo did, for the JV game.
High school or middle school, by the way.
He stepped back. Took the three, landed on somebody's foot and rolled his ankle a little bit, which had me a little nervous because he just injured that ankle, but seems to be doing all right with it. But
I meant to ask you all about that.
The both the JV game and the varsity game, it was a tale of the third quarter. The defensive effort coming out of halftime was just noticeable for ALA, and they really, really turned it on. And then, you know, you get a couple of stops, a couple of just silly, lazy passes, or not necessarily lazy, just not assertive passes, and the other team, ALA, hopped in the front of it and grabbed the ball and laid it in. And so you do that three times, and all of a sudden, what was a 2 or 3 point game
turns into an
10 or 11 point game very quickly, and then it's almost impossible to come back. But really impressed by the ALA guys. I shout out to Trey getting the start on the varsity team. Trey, I mean, he went in, he put in some great minutes. Same with Zion. Trey and Zion both getting in there. They don't normally get the start. They got in there.
They don't normally get more than 7 or 8 minutes of playing time. So it's nice to see
every minute that they were on the court. I would like to see the plus minus, because I think that they were both in the positive. It is my hunch, because they went great. Trey hit a three. It was great.
Yeah, Trey's always, I mean, no one looks at Trey. If you don't know Trey, he's a probably 285.
Yeah,
he's a big dude, probably about 5'8", 5'7", somewhere in that range. Like, he doesn't scream lethal 3-point shooter. He's not lethal, but he's probably 75% on the year, like, because he doesn't shoot many.
He was confident,
but yeah, he's very confident with the mid range pull up game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with his shortness, he's not the most dominant post player, but his size helps in that regard too. So he
can bang around in
there. He's a very solid guy to get in the post for
Zion
scouting.
Zion and Kamani both had just some amazing blocks. They played great. Got to see effort all four quarters, especially once you get punched in the mouth. You got to come back.
Same thing with the Batesburg. We saw great response from getting punched in the mouth against Batesburg. It was, a 12-point game coming out of halftime, and they were able to make that a 4-point loss, even winning at some points in the fourth quarter, but just unable to get anything going there. There was some, you can say no comment if you would like, but the officiating on the ALA game wasn't the best.
I hate to be the one that is, calling out these refs, because they're high school refs, this is not their full-time job. This is mm-hmm. not, but there was some parts where, in the JV game, they weren't calling anything either way. and it was like, somebody's going to get hurt. But then, like kickballs, you got to call a kickball. If somebody kicks the ball, you got to call a kickball. It's not just a loose ball after it's been kicked.
Yeah, that sounds dark.
And that happened. And one time it benefited us. One time it benefited 96, and about four times it benefited ALA, because the ball got kicked, and then now they just treated it like a loose ball. You can't do that. That kind of stuff. Like, I get not calling it tight, because that's annoying to watch in high school too, if you're calling every hand check. But this was not that. This was like, we're not calling blatant things. That's that.
And then the allegedly, I haven't heard anything, but the foul call on Carver Davis that was on Kobe Quarles or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, there was some, again, we already mentioned, but the officiating being very questionable, especially towards, was it third or fourth quarter that foul on Carver? That was really not him on him.
He got back in the game. That was fourth quarter.
Okay.
It might have been like 2 or 3 minutes left. It wasn't much left. They were saving Carver because he had four and they didn't want him to foul out. They put him back in the game. He wasn't in the game for more than 20, 30 seconds of game time. And the foul that they called, I mean, the ref that blew the whistle was well over into the other court. He was, 50, 60 feet away. Calls a foul, points at Carver, says foul number 10. And from where I was sitting, it didn't even look like Carver was close to the play. I thought, okay, they might have gotten Kobe on something because Kobe was in the area of where the ball was. And so either they called a foul on Carver off the ball from 60 feet away,
which would be ridiculous,
or they called a foul on Kobe and then got his number wrong when they reported it. So anyways, Carver fouled out. Hated to see it. But yeah, that officiating was not top notch, but again, can't blame the officials. You got to play the game. They, you know, some calls went our way, some calls went the other team's way. If you'd asked a lot of the other team's parents, they would have said the officiating was terrible and they won in spite of it. So anyways.
But yeah, I mean, you hate to see officials, especially when apparently you told me this, where Kobe went up to the ref and said, "That was me."
Yeah, it looked like
10.
It looks like what happened. Yeah.
That may or may not have happened. But, I mean, just it sucks for a senior in a region game to have that happen to. But, yeah, just you hate to see that for them. We'll talk briefly. Middle school falls, their first time in a poorly officiated game to, who was it, Meriwether? So, long road trip up to Meriwether. Or down to Meriwether, actually. They're in, like, Augusta area. Not fun to deal with that poorly officiated games, which is kind of the norm in Skeezah, South Carolina. Here, but just really stinks for them. Spring sports, we'll talk briefly about that. Baseball, had a decent sized group out there, still missing probably close to a quarter of the group due to basketball and a couple wrestlers as well. Track has had very little out there due to wrestling and basketball being live. And then soccer. Soccer practices, I have been going out to those. There's been guy soccer trying to get enough for a team. I think you need like 14 or 15 to get a team. They've never had the same group of guys out there at the same time. There's always been three or four not there. But we've had about 10 or 11. And so hopefully they're able to, and there's some guys who don't have physicals. So hopefully that can change. And then girls are going to have a lot out there from basketball. And there might be a couple wrestlers on the soccer team. I don't know, because girl wrestling is become the norm now. Oh yes, there's two senior girls who were major helps in their success last season, under first year head coach Greg Spearman. Hopefully they can carry over that success. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about the spring sports coming up?
Nope, excited to watch some baseball.
I'm also excited to watch some baseball. As you'll see, there's very similar to basketball, not too many seniors on this upcoming group. I think Carver, Davis, Carter, Patterson. Those are the only two that I can think of who are major contributors. Cruz Kennemore, also in that group of seniors. But yeah, for varsity, and then that JV group continues to grow. You'll see some more of the ninth grade group becoming on JV, and then potentially some more of some eighth graders, especially Easton Birch. That seems to be his sport. But yeah, and then last thing before we kind of head out of here is the Skeezah appeal. Schools trying to appeal their 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, 5A placements. And a lot are getting denied. Very few are getting approved, especially Christchurch. I'm going to mention that because of how much I love that they're getting denied because they're a private school. And then, yeah, one more thing was our region for 1A was officially announced. No surprises, really. I think it was 96, Abbeville,
Dixie,
Ware Shoals, Deaf and the Blind, and then somewhere else, someone else. Might have been McCormick. I'm not 100% sure.
Wasn't it?
We can double check real quick.
It wasn't Thornwell, was it?
It might have been Thornwell, but there might have been one of them. There might may have been one of them.
I think it was Thornwell, Deaf and Blind, and then some other ones.
We can check.
You know, like Thornwell doesn't even have a varsity football team.
You are correct. Let's look here.
Same with Deaf and Blind.
Abbeville, Calhoun Falls. Abbeville, Calhoun Falls, Dixie, McCormick, Ware Shoals, those are, and Thornwell. Those are kind of like your Abbeville County. I don't know if Thornwell's Abbeville County, but 96.
Lauren.
And then Deaf and the Blind. Deaf and the Blind, I believe they're out of, like, Spartanburg. But, yeah, and then I commented on the post that I found this out on. This is through 2028 region for 1A regions. I said, A very favorable region for most sports for 96. Curious to see if Dixie and Ware Shoals can carry the same success from last year in football, because they had really awesome seasons. Dixie, especially Ware Shoals, they were second in their region and had a few balls bouncing different ways away from being one in the region against Abbeville, which is a wild thing to say because a lot of those guys are collegiate athlete bound. But I don't know how old their star running back is. I'm blanking on his first name, Evans. Evans is his first name. I don't know how old he is. If he's young, another year of him, man. According to some of the coaching staff for 96, they're a very young group, or very old group, excuse me. So yeah, very curious to see how these regions shake out. Do you have anything else to say about college football world, college basketball world?
I think I'm good.
Tar Heels do not have a game during the week, I believe. Correct.
Next time is when we're going to go see them.
We will be seeing them in Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game, so if you want to come find us, come find us. But yeah, so we will see you guys next episode. Go Tar Heels.